The long-awaited sequel to Police Evo, or should I say threequel to the Police Evo franchise, is finally in Malaysian cinemas. I say long-awaited because obviously I think we were supposed to get this before or on the year in which the pandemic hit.
Right.
And it has since been delayed for many years, and also because I think the producers and the studios were trying to wait for an opportune time to release the movie so it can make the most money possible at the box office. That's a given, especially since the Police Evo franchise has been quite lucrative. The first one was record-breaking. The second one didn't make as much money because they tried something different and that didn't necessarily appeal to the local audiences. But this third one kind of goes back a little bit to the winning formula of the first Police Evo, which was buddy cop comedy with a little bit of drama, romance, and action thrown in for good measure. It's following that formula of 80s and 90s Hollywood action movies like Lethal Weapon and Bad Boys, and you know the kind I'm talking about. Now, both Pahi and I really enjoyed the first two Police Evo movies. We thought they were really solid entries into the Malaysian action genre. And Police Evo 3, for the most part, doesn't disappoint. It's actually a very well-constructed movie. It was incredibly entertaining. And when we left the cinema, it checked the three boxes that we're always looking for in a Malaysian movie, which is, it didn't make us angry, we were thoroughly entertained, and it was coherent. You may think that is a particularly low bar, but when you've seen as many local films as we have, it isn't. Now, Police Evo 3 more than clears that bar. It is very well put together, and we think it is a fitting finale because it's being touted as the last final movie in the franchise. But we think if it is, then it's a fitting finale for these characters. It isn't without its flaws. It's by no means a perfect movie, but if you like action films and you're looking for a good Malaysian action film, then this one surpasses the bar of competence.
Like, we get a lot of flack for saying we want a competent Malaysian film, but like you said earlier, that can be a fairly challenging bar to clear sometimes. You know, Abang Long Fadil is a great example of a film that is in focus, decently well lit, has got decent audio, but does not have great story. I think competency is the bare minimum of what we hope for these things. I mean, look at Anwar. That movie was not competent.
The one thing that I've appreciated with the Police Evo movies, and it may not necessarily have worked as well for the studios, right? Because they like trying something new. It's very easy for a writer, a director, a studio to just redo what made the first one successful. But in the second one, they tried something new. They tried something different. It didn't necessarily work out as well as they expected. But I think Police Evo 2 stands apart as a very fascinating experiment. If you take the Abang Long Fadil movies, for example, 1, 2, and 3, pretty much the same film. If you take Munafik, all of its sequels pretty much do the exact same thing. It's, hey, the audience like this, let's give them more because they'll pay money for it. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm all about commercial filmmaking. It's just that I think when you are in this position of having something successful, then you should make an effort to push the envelope just a little bit because that helped grow an audience as well. It's what Hollywood has been doing for decades.
Yeah.
Only when you try and experiment a little bit and affect some change, then you educate the audience and you push them in the same direction that you're going as well. And so Police Evo as a franchise has done that. Now, I did say this one was returning to the first movie, but I think they maintained some elements from the second film. If you look at the second act of this movie, it goes to pretty dark and emotional places. And I appreciate that because for me, I'm not watching this movie for the action sequences. I think, honestly, the action sequences in this film are the least impressive things about the movie because the scope style of making action movies has hit a plateau. So every scope movie you see will be pretty much the same thing. They've kind of fine-tuned their version of an action movie, and they haven't really experimented or done something new. They haven't kept up with what the rest of the world are doing. I'm watching this movie and I'm enjoying this movie because it does the one thing that so many Malaysian movies and Malaysian action movies don't do, in that it focuses on character and emotional arcs, and watching Shaizi Sam and Zizan Razak together is fun, is cool. They have great chemistry together, and that's why this movie works. It's the character is why this movie works.
It's not just a great relationship. I think it also feels like they've got a great comfort with each other as well. They're comfortable playing off of each other, where I didn't particularly see that. I won't say they weren't uncomfortable in the second one, but here you can feel like they've been around for a while.
They kept them apart for too long in the second one.
That's true. They did do that. But here they're pretty much together on screen the whole time.
The whole time.
I think that worked really well. I think what else worked really well was that there is a base expectation with regards to a scope production action film, right? There's going to be a couple of car chases and they'll be done relatively well. They'll be done within an acceptable level of performance. But what this one does is there is a lot of story here. I think I was surprised at how there is actual character depth and there's actual baggage that these characters are taking along, right? This is not just a, oh no, here's a case I have to solve right now, and oh, will you please stop being an idiot? We have to solve this case. There is a history here that has come up, and there is a reason for this thing having happened, as opposed to just, oh look, we have to break into another Chinaman's house.
So for every action movie that we watched growing up, if it's a franchise, if there are sequels, all of them reach that point where the story takes on a, this time it's personal, angle.
Yeah.
And this is that story in Police Evo 3, because the big bad, who is fantastic, by the way, the big bad has a close relationship with Kai. Reza used to be Kai's ex-partner. Some shit went down. He was thought to be dead, but now he's back, motherfucker. And he wants revenge on everyone. He wants to watch the world burn. And so that hook sets up a more intimate conflict for our characters. And I have to say, a lot of Malaysian films, wouldn't handle that well, but this one actually had me feeling it.
Yeah.
Yes, some bits were a little overwrought and shouty, but that's pretty normal for
it's
local
okay.
production.
That's okay. Yeah,
the melodrama is expected, but I still felt it.
And look, the biggest studio in the world with the best movies in the world have trouble with their villains, right? And here, what the writers have done, I don't know if it's clever or not, but they've taken the simplest justification for someone to be a villain without having to devolve into a mustache-twirling thing by making that problem personal and making it more than just a revenge story on one guy. This personal vendetta that our villain is on is almost institutional vendetta, which gives it more than just a, I want to take out that one guy thing. And there's weight here. I thought there was a meeting about halfway through the film when Reza and Kai are sitting in a stadium by themselves, and there is real weight to that conversation. There was real, I wouldn't say there was real stakes, but that conversation was earned and that conversation played out very, very well.
Shahnaz Ahmad, who plays Reza, is really, really good. He's menacing in a very quiet way throughout the film because he doesn't have too much dialogue, but when he speaks, it matters and it means something.
I just wish they'd shoot him differently, though. It's a stylistic decision. I'm not saying it was the wrong decision. I just think it was an unfortunate stylistic thing because he had a hoodie on. His face is always in shadow. He's always in the shadow. So he's always very dark. You never quite see him emote or express. And I thought they could have shot him a little better. I mean, take off the hood, take off the cap.
My biggest nitpick about this movie was actually in stuff that wasn't in it. So I find that when I watch a film like this, I end up doing a lot of mental gymnastics to fill in the blanks. And I know they want to get to the action, and I know that's what they want to do because that's what they think audiences want. But there is so much of this movie where I had to fill in the blanks because it's not like it was explained in previous films. So, for example, I needed to fill in the blanks that, oh, wait, Kai is also now living in Terengganu. Because throughout the movie, we were just looking at each other going, wait, did he move his whole family to Terengganu? Like, are they neighbors or something? Like, why are they always hanging out in Sunny's house? Like, what's going on?
It's not even that they're always hanging out. It's at one point, and this is in the trailer when we see Kai show off his bod. It just is like, what are you doing there? That sequence opens with him doing these sort of chin-ups. And you go like, wait, did he just go to Sunny's house to do chin-ups? Is that what he's doing?
And so those kind of setups are missing. And I think that's important in filling out character backstory without explaining character backstory. And I thought that was what was lacking in the film, to like flesh it out and just make it feel a little more complete. That for me was my biggest complaint. The other complaint, of course, is the action. Whenever a movie like this tries to emulate or tries to move really closely with actual police procedure, for example, what I find is that the action ends up becoming a little stale and boring, because a lot of the time, and we've seen this in Malaysian action movies up the wazoo, it descends into two groups of people standing across from each other and just shooting at each other. And that's kind of dull. There's no momentum. There's nothing kinetic about the sequence.
Yeah.
Some of the hand-to-hand close-up combat is pretty cool in this movie, but it's too little. The car chases, like you said, Bahe, are competent, but I just want people to stop speeding up the footage. Yeah. Because it makes it look kind of cheap and from TV from the 1980s. It just, like that kind of stuff I can do without. And so I found myself tuning out whenever there were action sequences and only paying attention again when they started talking and doing stuff.
Which is the really interesting opposite to what we normally do when we're at a Malaysian film, right? Where we tend to zone out during the dialogue because the dialogue really feels like filler for a lot of these things. I'm really happy with the Malaysian action film scene when it comes to hand-to-hand combat, but I think it's becoming a crutch, dare I say. Like, the hand-to-hand fight stuff have been very, very good. We can list out a bunch of films that have got decent hand-to-hand combat stuff. Invariably, they tend to have the actors from The Assistant. What are their names? Those three, four guys. Hyrule, you know what I mean?
Henley.
And that's great. Like, those tend to be done very, very well. Like, the fight scene in The Assistant was very good. Except it's being used a bit as a crutch because it's like, okay, we've done the two car chases. We've done the two gunfights. Oh, you know what we're missing? We're missing some fist fights. You know, and I think they don't feel natural. It almost feels like and now we go into fist fight.
I think they don't know when to cut something. It's like an SNL joke that goes on for too long.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that speaks to some of the jokes that seem to go on just for one beat too many. And even the action sequences that feel a little extended. And I think if those were cut just a little bit, the movie would be tighter. I mean, it was one of the main issues that we had even with John Wick, in that as the movies became bigger and more complex, it also felt a little more self-indulgent because the directors could get away with more now. And when you go back and take a look at something like Sisu, for example, small, European, tiny budget, they tend to work with a certain economical style. And I think that's what's missing. And that would actually serve these action movies a lot better. But that's it. I had a good time watching Police Evil 3. I think it is really a fitting end to this franchise. I think they wouldn't have let the fans down with this one. I think it's everything you expect. But yet again, you're there for Shahezi Sam and Zizan Razak. It's their chemistry on the whole that makes this whole thing work for me.
You had your nitpick, and I think my nitpick is actually the end of this movie. And I don't mean that as in the villain ending was not great. At the end of the movie, there's a title cut from the director. thanking fans for having supported the police over series. And it wasn't until that point that I realized that this was the final movie in the trilogy.
Right.
There was no character moment that they went, I'm done now. You know,
I'm moving on.
I'm not even done. It's I'm stepping away from this, right? I'm moving on up in my life or whatever, right?
Is Murtaugh finally going to retire? Yeah.
Yeah. The character doesn't have its next step moment. And I think that was lacking, especially because the title cut from the director telling me that this is the end of this series.
Also because one of the key themes of the film is Kai coming to terms with his relationship with Anais and whether or not he can move forward with it. And by the end of this film, even though he may have decided to move forward with the relationship and take it to the next level, actually there is no resolution as to his problems.
Yes, no.
Because his problems have always been, I'm a cop, I could die tomorrow, I will leave you a widow, it happened to your own father, like, do you want that again?
There was no moment of acceptance for him as a character that this is the life that not only has he chosen, but it is the life that she has accepted because she's ready in the family.
And I think that's a big problem. You're right. I think in that sense, the ending did feel a little disjointed. But also for me, I don't know. I think the villain's death also, like, I think a lot of Malaysian action movies, the ending very potong steam.
Yeah.
In that I want to see more. Like, this son of a bitch has tortured you and your friends, and he's wreaked havoc across Malaysia for these 2 hours. And yet his death feels a little too easy. I wanted more, like, I want it to feel satisfying, you know?
There are two ways to approach that, right? It can be a painful death. It can also be him having a monologue. And we know Malaysian movies love a good monologue. So why not just give him a monologue about how either he's repented on his deathbed or not? But I think the fact that he just dies on screen, you just go, bleh? And look, if you've been listening to us for the last, I don't know, 15 minutes, it might sound like we're down on this, but we're not. I think if you're looking for a decent action movie, say if you would give a Thai action movie or an Indo action movie a chance, I think Police Evo 3 is definitely worth giving a chance to.
I mean, the whole idea of why we do this is so we can talk about these things and discuss films. And we really like this movie, but it's not without its flaws. And we think those are the kind of things that we picked up while we were watching it. And it's always important because those are the things that actually either pull you out of a movie or keep you invested in a movie. And so sometimes even the dumbest movies with glaring plot holes and massive flaws can keep an audience totally invested in it because of other reasons. That they're willing to suspend a certain amount or even all disbelief to get totally involved and invested in that story. So that in itself is a certain artistic endeavor, right? That a movie can do that. And with Police Evo, by and large, incredibly successful effort. I just think there were certain moments that could have been tighter, that could have been better, like with most movies. I have to say, though, after Special Force Anarchy, I wasn't expecting this much from Shafiq Yusof because I'd really disliked that series.
Yeah.
And actually, a lot of Shafiq's movies suffer from being indulgent. Even the Abang Long Fadel movies tend to be a little self-indulgent and overwrought. And the one thing I can say about Police Evo 3 is that it's against type. It feels very controlled. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's writing. He didn't write this one. He's written a lot of the other stuff. So that could probably be it. Maybe the writing was slightly tighter, production slightly tighter. Maybe it's got different cinematographers. But for some reason, this felt good because it was more controlled.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Check out Police Evo 3. We highly recommend it. We really, honestly had a blast at the cinema. In the meantime, watch this movie. Let us know what you think. GogglerMY, all of our social media feeds. You can also reach out via email, podcast@goggler.my, or send us a WhatsApp on the Goggler hotline, 012-524-5208. If you message us on any one of those platforms, we'll send you a link to join our brand new Discord server where you can chat with us in real time. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Goggler Podcast.